Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Star! Baby and Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Splits the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. Score! Shoot, score! A spectacular rush from end to end by Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Seconds to go. Graf for Granlund. He'll pass to Zetterlund. Shoots and scores! Fabian Zetterlund with 8.9 seconds to go.
Yeah, and we've made a lot of changes to it. There's a lot of new faces here, and it's tough to learn on the go in a short period of time what's expected of you. And, it's just, it's hard, but we're not the only team that's gone through it. And, as I've said repeatedly, we're in a situation where we kind of understood that this was going to be a difficult year, but we will be better for it moving forward.
And so the San Jose Sharks season comes to a close, an end to what has been a year that hopefully we are going to look back as a stepping stone, but a stepping stone that was necessarily evil, I think is not quite the right term, but just necessary to go down to the bottom like the San Jose Sharks did in this game. The season comes to an end, and the San Jose Sharks only had 19 wins when all was said and done. And obviously that is not going to inspire a lot of fans. But at the same time, I think everyone has to acknowledge that it is what is necessary for this team to take the next step forward. But we look back at the season, we see 19 wins, 54 losses, and 9 overtime losses. Good for 47 points, 11-25-5 at home, 8-29-4 on the road, and they end the year on a 3-game losing streak, 3-6-1 in their last 10. And I don't think anything that we go over from yesterday's game is going to give us some great insight as to how the Sharks get it going from here. I think that they had to get through these 82 games, and now they can start working towards the future and building those next steps. But yeah, last night when watching that game, I think in my opinion, I was just looking at a very, very tired team. And I think that it goes beyond the physical toll, right? Like, you're looking at a team that has been through not a historically bad season, because we go back to the 92-93 season for the franchise, and that's the worst one in franchise history with 11 wins, I believe. But just the losing takes its toll on you. The San Jose Sharks got beat up badly. They had a goal differential of -150. You compare that to Chicago with a -110 goal differential. You compare that to where Anaheim was with a -194. You compare that to where Columbus was -63. You look at what Ottawa and Montreal were, -53 for the Canadiens and -26 for Ottawa. I mean, the Sharks were out there in space. I mean, they finished only 4 points worse than Chicago, but that 40 goal differential, that's a lot of painful losing that the Sharks had to go through. I mean, we go back to those, 10-1 losses and 10-2 losses, which came back to back in the month of October when the season was getting started off, and really, things just could not have gone worse. And actually, that was in November, not October. That was the start of November. But, after that, the Sharks did put together some very nice wins. They beat Philadelphia 2-1. They beat the Oilers 3-2. And then they had a nice 5-1 win over the Blues. And I don't have to go game by game by this, but, there was the 7-1 loss to the Kraken after they had those two really bad losses. And then you go into the month of December and you look at some of the other tough losses that they had, losing 7-4 to Vancouver, losing 5-0 to Edmonton, losing 6-2 to the Avalanche. Then you start to go into, you know, the month of January and you look at some of the other bad losses along the way, losing 4-1 and then 7-1 against Toronto in back-to-back games. You also had a pretty rough loss, 5-2 against Buffalo. Then you get into the month of February, and again, you had a 7-2 loss to the Devils in there, a 4-0 loss to Vegas. You go into March, and again, you're looking at a 7-2 loss to the Islanders, an 8-2 loss to Nashville. And then most recently, you had a 6-2 loss against the Wild, a 9-2 loss against the Oilers, and then a 5-1 loss against Calgary. It's not a good way to go through a season when you have to deal with that many lopsided losses. I think we can all agree with that. But I think that, you know, hopefully the outcome of this year is that you will get guys like William Eklund, like Thomas Bordeleau, like Mackenzie Blackwood, like Luke Cunningham, like, you know, Mikhail Granlund, who I think is part of the Sharks' future. I don't know what the long-term plans are for any of these guys because obviously it's been a tear down and a rebuild. But my hope would be that these guys are all just absolutely sick and tired of the losing that has been going on. And I know that, you know, I look at social media and I see people saying, oh, they're 5 years away from the playoffs or they're this. Like, I don't know how many years away from the playoffs they are. I'm not trying to claim that anyone knows. But what I do think is that you have a team of people that are going to be absolutely very driven to be a much better team a year from now. And I think that with the cap space that the Sharks have, with the prospects they've been developing, with their overall ability to, I think, develop talents, I think you're going to see a much faster turnaround than maybe some people are predicting right now for San Jose. But for the here and now, you know, if you're a fan this year, you've watched your team get beat up. If you're a player on the ice, you've been a part of that getting beat up upon. And it's just a matter of, you know, that this was a necessary step along the way. David Quinn has alluded to it nonstop. And you hope that the team can start building towards that future. And again, I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't claim to have, you know, some sort of crystal ball, that I'm clairvoyant, that I'm able to tell you when it's going to be. But I'm also going to tell you that I'm not going to be surprised if it's maybe a little bit faster than what people overall predict. But watching that game last night, yeah, I kind of was expecting that. This team has been through the ringer. You go to the All-Star break, there have just not been a lot of wins since that time. In fact, there have only been 5, and I think that's just a lot for any team to take. And then, you know, especially you get your doors blown off by Minnesota, and then, you know, you even get more of a shellacking at the hands of the Oilers, and then you get a team like Calgary, who probably is trying to figure out why they are not what they expected themselves to be for yet another season. You know, it's a lot for the Sharks staff to go through. And so the offseason is here. It's time for guys to improve. It's time for everybody to start and turn things around. And I think that for a lot of guys, like William Eklund per se, he's going to have a healthy offseason. He didn't have this offseason last year. He was coming back from a shoulder injury, and a pretty significant one at that. You know, Luke Cunningham, he was coming back from a significant knee injury. And yes, he is a restricted free agent, but, you know, the way that he showed himself to be a leader this year, I think that gives credence of what he can be for the future. But he was coming back from that major knee injury. He will have a healthy offseason. Mikhail Granlund was coming back into this year as someone who had to reestablish himself in the NHL. He went ahead and did that, and he got that 60th point in the game last night, and I think that everybody probably looks at that, and at the time, Mike Greer was ripped over the Carlson trade, but now I think people are probably looking at it and thinking, oh, yeah, that's not exactly a terrible deal when all is said and done. In fact, it's worked out pretty darn well for the San Jose Sharks, but you look at these moves, you look at these players, Mikhail Granlund in particular, his coming into the franchise has reinvigorated his NHL career. And if you did not hear the part of the interview with the hockey guy that I played on the buildup, go back and listen to it, because he talks about Mikhail Granlund and he talks about that Lund line and what's developing with San Jose Sharks. And now they have a start here. But, you know, Mikhail Granlund reestablished himself. he's going to go into the offseason with that much more confidence, with that much more desire, with that much more overall impressive ability to be able to hit the ground running next year. And, you know, he had, I think his points per game would have been his highest of his career because he did miss some time due to injury. But this is a guy who I think next year, as the Sharks continue to improve, could have a 70 or 80 point season. He missed time this year, somewhere around 15 games, maybe one more, maybe one less, something like that. But he still had 60 points when all was said and done. That is a huge, huge accomplishment for him. And I think that, you know, you put another 15 games onto his tally, you put some more high quality players on the San Jose Sharks, and I think that that's a guy who can go out there and get a lot of points for the future. And let's talk about Fabian Zetterlund, by the way. This guy did everything this year. Fabian Zetterlund is one of the easiest guys to root for that I have ever seen come over from a trade where people had no idea what to think of him at first. And I'll admit, his start last year with San Jose was not exactly amazing. He didn't look like he was really comfortable out there on the ice, and he didn't know what he was going to turn into. And then it didn't look like the guy that I had seen previously out there on the ice, because I had watched some of his game and I liked it. He just didn't look like that in San Jose at the end of last year. Well, this year he showed that on a pretty bad team, he can score 24 goals. And then imagine what he can be when the Sharks are a humming team, when they can go out there and buzz, when they can go out there and put shots on the net, when they're not pinned in their own end for large amounts of games. Like, that is what I am excited about for the future of a Fabian Zetterlund. He played 82 games this year. I believe he was the only Shark to do so. He hustles out there. He works hard. He never stops. He's the kind of guy that I think that I look at and think, okay, he can be a 30 or maybe even a 40 goal scorer in the NHL. He showed great growth from one year to the next. And again, it's a bad team, and there's two ways to look at that. You can say, okay, well, somebody's going to score those goals, or, you know, they know that you're the main option. They shut you down. There's going to be other guys that aren't going to score. And Fabian Zetterlund clearly was the guy who was getting it done, him and, you know, Mikael Granlund. So you focus on those guys, and there's not a lot else that's coming at you. I mean, Tomas Hertl, he hasn't been here for a while, but it has not slowed down Fabian Zetterlund one bit. So I look at his future, and I'm very excited for that. And then you start talking about a guy like William Eklund and his future. I think he showed incredible progress this year, and I think that he looks like he has the ability to be a big-time impact player in the NHL. And that's a high draft prospect turning into a real player on the ice. You give a lot of credit to the Sharks coaching staff for that as well. I think that's where people are probably overlooking. I hear some people complain about David Quinn, and I understand. Listen, you have a bad year like this, people are going to have their complaints. But you look at the way that William Eklund has developed. You look at the way that other young players have been able to develop. Thomas Bortolo is another one. Fabian Zetterlund is another one. I mean, those are the things that I'm looking to see, where guys who can be coached can go out there and be a part of what's happening out there on the ice. And then, you know, even some of the younger guys we didn't get to see much of. Jack Thompson, you know, Colin Graf, who came in late and, you know, played 7 games before this year came to an end. And I think we saw some development in their game as well. You know, I had only seen one previous game of Jack Thompson before these final two games where he'd played previously with Tampa. And I just mean watching some highlights and just getting some idea of what he's like out on the ice. But he looked like he was more comfortable in game two than he was in game one. So that's something that I'm paying attention to as well. And these are the things that I'm going to keep on looking at as we go forward. Like, what exactly are these players going to bring game in, game out, that we can look at in the future to try and judge their progress? And now we've seen a little bit of Colin Graf. Is he going to be up with the Sharks next year? I don't know. Same thing with Jack Thompson, but we've gotten a little bit of a look. Daniil Gushin, again, you see the capability, you see the potency, you see the ability. What is their timeline going to be? What is their development going to be like? And then you look back at some of the other guys. You've got a Will Smith. You have got a Philip Biested. You've got Quentin Musty. I mean, you go down the list on a lot of these players that the Sharks are currently working on developing. And obviously all of them are not going to turn into, you know, effective full-time pros, or maybe they will. I can't say for sure, but you're giving yourself as many options as possible. And, you know, next year they're going to be at least with the Barracuda. I mean, we'll have to see what some of these guys decide to do, but, you know, a lot of these prospects we're going to get to see more of. Shakir Mukhmadulin, obviously he's dealing with an injury, so his season came to a close. But we got to see a little bit of time of him at the NHL level, and you saw with that huge orbit that he has, his size, his natural ability, you're excited for it. You're excited for Henry Thrun, or at least I am. Listen, I can only tell you how I feel on any of these situations. But I am excited for what's coming down the pipe for San Jose. You might not be at this point. You might be saying, Ted, I'm just coming off a 19-game season. I don't need to start thinking about what's going to be happening with the lineup in the very next game. And I'm sick like that. I'll be the first to admit it. But I think ultimately my feeling after coming out of this season is one of excitement because you got past it. You got through it. Yeah, it's been a long, arduous, difficult year with so many blowout losses. Do you know what it was like? The feeling, if you were there, you do know. Those back-to-back 10-1 and 10-2 losses, my God. And that's something that I'm never going to forget for the rest of my life. In the same way that I will never forget what it was like being in the building when the Sharks won Game 7 against Las Vegas. And even when they won Game 7 against Colorado, which is one that gets slept on because that was an absolutely astounding game. But I will never forget those moments because of the elation, because of the crowd, because of the vibrancy. Just like that, I will never forget those games where the Sharks got absolutely demolished at home, giving up 20 goals in two games. That is something that I never thought I would see, and I did. And so, yes, I understand as well as anyone the pain of this season and your desire to move on and not really want to talk about it. I got you. I do not want to take that away from you in the slightest. That said, you got through this year. Nobody died. There were changes that were made along the way. You have, of everyone that was there in 2019, you know, Logan Couture and Marc-Edward Vlasic next year might be the only two left. And with Logan Couture, it's a relatively uncertain future. Nobody really knows what's going to happen next to him. So, you know, I have talked about it a lot, about how what was going to happen in the offseason between the 22-23 and 23-24 season was going to be incredibly impactful. And then beyond, yeah, I mean, what has happened to this team in the last couple of years is ideally setting up a very, very bright future, which includes the very, very dark times that we have gone through this season. But again, in trading away a Brent Burns, a Timo Meier, an Erik Karlsson, and a Tomas Hertl, you hope that those moves will pay off and the Sharks will be able to start to build this team back into a true contender year after year after year after year. All right, we're going to take a break. On the other side, we are going to get into the rest of the interview that I couldn't fit on the build-up yesterday. We're also going to get into some post-game reaction. So join me on the other side as I talk to the hockey guy about the future of the San Jose Sharks. You're on Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
All right, welcome back to Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network. I spoke with the hockey guy of YouTube fame a little bit earlier this week. We talked a lot about the future of the San Jose Sharks. To hear the rest of this interview, go listen to the build-up, Game 82 versus Calgary, to hear more about his thoughts on the Sharks. But we got back into it talking about Fabian Zetterlund and his emergence as a true threat.
Were you expecting Fabian Zetterlund to creep towards 25 goals when he was acquired by the Sharks last year? And you know, now there's kind of the thought that if the Sharks have more going forward, that he might be able to get, you know, above 30 and then, you know, kind of see where it goes from there.
I know when that trade took place, I saw a lot of negativity towards Zetterlund and always not very, like, basically from a lot of Devils fans. But I had thought he was good. I had figured maybe 15 goals this year. I didn't think he would score the way that he has. He's got a nose for the net. They're not always the prettiest goals, but they're going in. And they don't ask how, just how many. I think Zetterlund absolutely could end up being a 30-plus goal scorer. Not dissimilar to, say, like what Jared McCann's done in Seattle, where he finally gets a chance to show what he can do, and he ends up being a pretty good player.
What have you thought of Thomas Bortolo?
Hit and miss with Bortolo. Some nights he looks really, really good. I think there's some work that still needs to be done on his game, but he absolutely could be a good top nine forward for them going forward.
What do you expect to happen with a Will Smith and a Quentin Musty next year?
I would think if either or wants to be in their lineup, I think that they will be given every opportunity to play for San Jose. Smith's really the guy that they need to make sure is 100% ready before he's in the lineup. Let him marinate as long as it takes. There's no rush, that kind of thing. But he has that star potential. And then if you have Smith on one line, you have the three Lund line as well. You're starting to build up your top six right there. And Musty, at the time he was drafted, there were some that really liked him, some didn't, but he is trending in the right direction. So things look pretty good.
Yeah. I like his game a lot, and he's got some good size to him. And that's one of the things that when Tomáš Hertl left, when he was traded, he got to the first media availability with Vegas media. And he said, oh, you know, I'm used to being the tallest or one of the tallest guys in the Sharks dressing room. That's not how it is in Vegas. And it's something that I hadn't really considered a lot, but it's like, yeah, the Sharks are not a big team. There's not a lot of big guys. And then, you know, now you look at, you know, the size of a Quentin Musty for obvious sake. And then, you know, Klim Kostin, and he's been good with the Sharks since he's come over. And does that size necessarily have to go hand in hand with difficult to play against?
It absolutely can. I know when I went and watched Vancouver, LA, it really stood out to me how some of those Kings players are huge. And I know when I go watch Abbotsford games, which is, of course, your AHL affiliate, you can tell that a lot of the Abbotsford Canucks are on the smaller side. Mm-hmm. And some teams come in and they're just all giant. Vegas really does like to have big players. I think it's still, I mean, younger, smaller players can now play in the NHL way more than they could a generation ago, but it's still a big guy's game. And so San Jose picking up some bigger players makes a lot of sense.
Before I let you go, the NHL announced that they have a new attendance record this year. Obviously, there's more teams than there's ever been, but were you surprised at all by that?
No, the excitement for the NHL is, I think it's real. I think getting it back onto ESPN, mm-hmm. I think that having so many teams alive in the chase for the playoffs helps. I think that this is a league now where I think they've done a really good job of selling the game. Plus, I think coming out of the pandemic here, I think there's a bounce back where people want to go out and watch games. They want to go out and enjoy themselves and have that entertainment value. So it makes sense to me that the attendance is as high as it is. The future is really, really bright for the league in general.
So this is interesting because in the Bay Area, we've obviously had the situation going on with the Oakland A's and their move. And then all this Arizona news breaks in the last couple of days. And there doesn't seem to be the same. Is it just because it's so blindsiding that people have not had time to, I don't know, compartmentalize it or really organize, more of just dissents about it?
I think with the Coyotes, because this situation has dragged on for so long, it's been through so many owners.
Yeah.
I think on some level, there might be a sense of relief from some people that at least there's some closure. At least it looks like it's coming to an end. It's been a long time. And so, I think there's some excitement about Salt Lake. Like there's still some uncertainty with Oakland. Like Vegas, they haven't 100% cleared that baseball stadium yet.
Yeah.
There's still some hurdles. And then there's where are they going to play between now and then? And there's the plan, of course, that some people have criticized with the A's, but it looks like with the Coyotes, they'll just go right to Salt Lake City. They'll go right to the Delta Center, which has some sightline issues. And they're going to have a brand new building. It's already been approved by the government. The funding's right there. So it's kind of a seamless move.
It's interesting just because that, you know, you'll go to a new market. You'll have that boost there. What do you think happens after that with Arizona? And then does it also impact anything they're hoping to have in Atlanta?
Arizona's going to be tricky from here because with Alex Maruelo, there's a lot of public distrust now of him because he came in 5 years ago. He had all these grand promises he made, which fans now view as being broken. So you're looking at a market where you're already having trouble drawing. And I've seen some fans saying, if he's attached to whatever team comes back to Arizona in 5 years, I don't know that I can support it because he just pulled the team away from us. So it is going to be a real challenge to make that work. And I have wondered too. So when the NHL gives him this money to take the team off his hands and then sell it to Ryan Smith from Utah, how much motivation will Mariello have then for the land bid? Or could he turn around and decide, you know what, I'm going to do something else.
Yeah.
So I'll be interested to see what he does and how the fan base reacts. Cause it does sound like the NHL's given the Coyotes name and everything to him, but I don't know that Coyote fans will follow him. That's the question mark for me.
No, it'll be very interesting. Well, Shannon, I'll let you go, man, because it's always fun to talk with you. And I know you've got a lot to get done, but keep up the great work and we will talk soon. All right.
Absolutely.
Again, that is Shannon, the hockey guy of YouTube fame. If you are not following his channel, I highly, highly suggest you do so. All right, I wanted to get into some of our post-game reaction after last night's 5-1 loss to Calgary. David Quinn talking about the team's inability to just kind of finish off plays, especially defensively, and it being a big issue for the team.
Yeah, that's a big, big problem for us. We need to defend harder in our one-on-one situations. We need to end plays. Right now, it's a little too easy to get the puck away from us, and it's very, very difficult for us to get the puck away from the other team. But like I said, we're anticipating a big summer, and we'll be better next year.
Quinn also spoke about the team's poor play in the second period.
Yeah, I thought our puck play was really poor in the second period. I thought we were fumbling pucks. One of our problems is we got to learn to take a hit and take a hit to make plays. And too often we're throwing pucks away when we really don't know where they're going. Are they going to advance to the next zone with a purpose? Are we going to pass it to a teammate? And, we've got to buckle down. As much as we need to be harder without the puck, we got to be harder with it.
And Quinn shared his thoughts on Devin Cooley, who, in my opinion, deserved, once again, a better effort defensively in front of him.
Well, tough situation to be thrown in with the team we have and, the chances that we give up. And so in fairness to him, it was it's a tough situation. He had some great moments, obviously, and I'm sure there are moments he'd like to have back. But, every player that's, new to the league and learning as he goes through all that. So, there certainly were some great moments for him.
Yeah, I don't know what the future holds for Devin Cooley, but I think that he has some definite raw ability, and I absolutely love some of the moments we got from him, some of the wins, just incredible heartfelt stuff from him. So, yeah, I would love for him to continue to be a part of this franchise, but you just never know where things are going to go. Fabian Zetterlund spoke after the final game of the year last night. He was asked about what it meant for him to play in all 82 games.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's nice. I feel fresh every game, I try to stay in shape and ready to go every night. And that was my goal before the season. And I made it.
But I think what that shows you ultimately is some pretty impressive durability. Considering the Sharks overall were one of the most injured teams in the NHL this year, Fabian Zetterlund was not, and he does not play a game lacking in physicality. He's out there in guys' faces. He's out there making things happen. So I was pretty impressed with what we got to see from him over the course of 82 games. Injuries happen. They're a part of hockey. They're a part of sports. They're a part of life. But again, Fabian Zetterlund, a testament to hard work and preparation. Dude's a beast. He is in really, really good shape. He does not give the appearance outwardly that he's just kind of as ripped as he is. But yeah, dude is shredded and has a lot of muscle on that frame. He's well put together. He's prepared for the rigors of the NHL. Devin Cooley spoke after the game. He was asked about just how tough these past couple of games have been.
Yeah, I think that Edmonton game definitely took a hit on my confidence. That showed tonight. I think I reverted back to a lot of old habits tonight, and that just wasn't me out there. And I just, trying to battle through and trying to stay positive and tell myself like it's going to be fine. And I just couldn't beat the mental side of things tonight. Had a couple of good bounces, and a couple of good shots. And I thought I played small. I played on my heels. I was sitting back, just old habits. Like, that's not my game anymore. And I think a lot of it's just that confidence that Edmonton game kind of hit me, and it's a good learning experience, and hopefully I can figure out how to manage that.
Insightful honesty as always from Mr. Cooley. And Kyle Burrows was asked what the Sharks' D-core and as a team overall need to improve upon going forward.
Well, I think, like you said, it's tough to reflect on it right now with everything that kind of just happened and how it went. But obviously, you know, we need to take steps to get better. You know, I think that's something between, you know, the D-core and coaching staff. And, you know, it's something that we want to do. It's something we want to provide. And, you know, we're going to look to do that.
All right, that wraps it up for this edition of Morning Tide. But don't worry, we're going to be with you all throughout the offseason with tons of content coming at you. Enjoy your Friday. Enjoy your weekend. It's been a great season talking with you after every single Sharks game, having our morning coffee together. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.